Well, a very merry COVID Christmas to you all. You know, government of all levels has been front and center and very, very much involved in our lives over this last little while, the last, 9 months or so, and more so than I can ever remember in my lifetime. This intense spotlight on government and everybody's wide array of opinions and reactions and overreactions to things that the government is involved in, like the handling of COVID, the elections, racial issues, protests, riots, character issues of our elected officials. It all leads me to ask this question of us all: where's my future? Because many seem to think that our government holds the key to making our future better. Now listen, I am not suggesting in any way that we should not have opinions on what the government is doing and that we should not be involved. But what I am suggesting is that many followers of Jesus have lost sight of where their future rests. Not many, if any, would ever actually say, well, my future rests in the government and what the government does. And if the government does things that are not good, then my future is not going to look so bright. But listen, people believe how you behave, not what you say. Let me say that again. People believe how you behave, not what you say. And so if we behave like the government holds the key to our future, then that's what people are going to believe that we think. I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. In this portion of Scripture, the prophet Isaiah prophesies about the coming Messiah. And many of us are probably familiar with the words in Isaiah's prophecy, but today I want us to drill down a little bit deeper as we look at the question, where is my future? Starting in verse number 6, it says, For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So the prophet Isaiah looks from hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born. He looks to the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, and he prophesies about his coming kingdom or government. And he mentions four specific characteristics that the government of Jesus will have. Number one, no confusion. See, Isaiah says that he is a wonderful counselor. And so these four descriptions of Jesus and his government, most of us are very familiar with. So I don't want to just kind of a wonderful counselor. Well, that's wonderful. He gives us counsel and his counsel is wonderful. I want us to look a little bit deeper at what it is that Isaiah was saying. And by doing that, I want to look into the original Hebrew words. So that word wonderful means extraordinary or marvelous. And counselor means to bring resolve or give counsel, like wise counsel. So Wonderful Counselor is classic, but I like to say that he is extraordinarily wise. This means that there is no, well, what should we do, or what is happening, or what is truth in the government of Jesus? There's no wondering, am I being lied to here? Am I being manipulated here? See, these are questions that I've personally asked many times over this last year. Because it's so hard to know exactly what is the truth in our culture and in our country. What do we really know? Ask yourself that question. What do we really know outside of what the mainstream media tells us or what the government officials choose to reveal and share with us? I don't know. How do we know that what they're sharing is the whole truth and nothing but the truth? See, it's almost impossible outside of divine revelation and On top of that, we've seen those who have released prophetic words claiming the divine revelation of God, and they have prophesied about what will happen, and some of them have been wrong, and they have missed it. It can be so confusing. But this is not an issue in the government of Jesus, because there is clarity and not confusion. Because Jesus is extraordinarily wise. The second characteristic is no chaos, for he is the mighty God. See, I love this one, mighty God. I mean, it's as plain as the nose on Rudolph's face. But when you look at the Hebrew words, it gets even better, because mighty means the strongest, mightiest, or champion. And God is the Hebrew word El, E-L, and it means mighty or one true God. So mighty God could also be said this way, the mightiest mighty God, the mightiest mighty God. He is able to bring order out of chaos the same way that he did during creation. And not only can he himself bring order, but he empowers other people or enables us to do what is right, which brings order, which brings righteousness, which brings justice through us. See, there's many people can get stuff done. They can do good things, and they can, on their own, they can bring in small sections, they can bring order out of chaos. But none of them can truly empower another person to do what is right. God is so mighty that he flows his power, his wisdom, and his strategy through us so that we might be instruments of order on the earth. And no one knows better than me, and no one knows better than you, how not wise and how prone to chaos we are. And so for God to let his power flow through us, who are not wise, who are prone to chaos, that is mighty. The mightiest mighty God brings order to all chaos. The third characteristic, the government of Jesus is no complexity, because he is the everlasting Father. Everlasting means perpetual or ancient, referring to past time. And it also means forever, referring to of future time. And Father means the head, the founder, or the originator. So Jesus the Messiah is the perpetual Father, meaning that he is Father forever in the past, and he is Father forever in the future. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, he says this, "We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up until this very moment." See, Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of everything. And there is nothing too difficult, and there is nothing too complex for the perpetual Father. His government is simple and uncomplicated, so unlike our government. It is said that it takes a truly wise person to take something that is so incredibly complex and make it so simple that a child can understand it. And that's what Jesus does. He takes the complexity out of life and makes it so very simple. He's the one who said, "Unless you become like a child." The fourth characteristic is no conflicts, because he is the Prince of Peace. Prince in Hebrew means governor, keeper, or ruler of rulers. And peace, peace means completeness, healthy, full in number, secure, and wholeness. Jesus is the keeper of wholeness. He is the source of, and he is the dispenser of, wholeness in every area of life. There is no conflict in the Messiah's kingdom, because it's a whole and complete and perfect kingdom. See, conflicts most often arise out of people not being whole. So when you have two people who are broken and not whole and they're coming together, you're going to get conflict. For example, some common reasons for conflict in life are people having opposite agendas, period. You have something that I need, personalities, changes. Things aren't stable and secure. Everything's always changing. Betrayal, thoughtless and irresponsible behavior, and needs not met. All of these things go away when all parties are whole with nothing missing and nothing broken. And this is only attainable through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. We today are still waiting for the full realization of Isaiah's prophetic word, because it says that the government rests on his shoulders, and of its increase we will see no end. So the government of Jesus is now, and it is ever increasing. So we have yet to see the full realization of this prophetic word. But I'm concerned that many followers of Jesus are so focused on the troubles today that they are losing sight of eternity. They are so focused on which politician may or may not be able to lead us out of our troubles, may or may not be able to fix all of our racial issues and the COVID pandemic and the economy and immigration and kids in cages and separated families and racial issues and pro-life and right to life and all of the other stuff, that we lose sight of the greater reality that the government rests on the shoulders of Jesus and not on the shoulders of humanity. If you and I are expecting a political party or a politician to fix all of this stuff and all of these things, I can safely prophesy that we are going to be forever disappointed, frustrated, angry, and hopeless. Where is my future? It's in the baby that laid in the manger, that grew into a man who lived a perfect and sinless life, who died a criminal's death that I deserved, only to be raised from the dead, triumphant over death and sin. Where's my future? My future is in Jesus. The governmental rule and reign of Jesus that I've talked about today is here and now, and it is growing. This is not just something for one day in the future, but it's here and now, and it's growing and expanding, and it's ever increasing. And of the increase, we will never see its end. It rests on Jesus' shoulders. So then it really asks, it begs the question, what does this mean for us today? How does this impact my life right now? Well, as sons and daughters of God, as followers of Jesus, we operate under a superior governmental authority as the church, or the ecclesia of God. And I know we've talked about this a few times over the last several weeks, but I want to give you four ways that this applies to the area of government that we can take and we can apply for us today. How does this impact our life today? Number one, we honor and love our governing leaders. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. We have no influence where we have no honor or love. Let me say that again. We have no influence where we have no honor or love. So check yourself. How's your honor? And how's your love? Number two, prayer. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. There might not be a greater impact or influence that you and I can have but through prayer. And I'm not talking about judgmental or critical or complaining prayer. And we've all done those. Number three, serving. There are those who have been called by God and who've been given an assignment to serve and lead as an elected government official. And then there are those who have an assignment to come alongside those officials as an advisor or a staffer to give wisdom and counsel and influence. We need to pray that God would release more and more of those men and women into our government. And I want us to keep in mind, because sometimes we can get sidetracked when we talk about, you know, getting into places of influence, whether it's in government or whether it's in business or wherever the case might be. We have to keep in mind that the goal is not to have a Christian in every elected office, but to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, to partner with Jesus' ever-increasing government so that we can see souls saved and nations discipled and the kingdom of heaven come. That's the goal. It's not to have a Christian in every elected office. And number four, involvement. Every one of us needs to be involved. Every one of us needs to be an informed voter. Not just a voter who votes and you know, casts their ballots all willy-nilly. You have no clue what's happening. You've never done any research. But we need voters who are knowledgeable about the issues, who are knowledgeable about policies and candidates, and they vote how they feel led by the Holy Spirit to vote. Not being told how to vote by some person or some party or some organization, but you understand the issues and what's going on, and you pray and you ask, Father, how would you like me to cast my vote? And then you pray as you feel led. It is our responsibility to be an involved and informed voter. Finally, as we are to be involved as influencers and problem solvers, not problem identifiers, because anyone can see a problem, but it takes the truly courageous to do something about it. Hear, see, read. Far too many who are just pointing out problem here, problem there, problem here, problem there. Great. What should we do about it? I don't know, but there's a problem here and a problem there and a problem there. Just pointing out problems. Family, let that not be us, just problem identifiers. If you see a problem, begin to pray, God, what can we do? What would you have us do? How do we correct the problem? How do we solve the problem? And sit and wait for him to speak to you so that we can be problem solvers, not identifiers. Where is my future? My future is found in Jesus. That's it. Nowhere else. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would readjust our eyes and our sight and where we look to our future. May we be forever anchored in you, Jesus, because our future is found in you and in you alone. Things are hard now, and it seems like they're getting harder and more difficult. Help us to not lose sight of you. May we be people of hope. May we be people who know where our future rests, for it is not hopeless. It is not hopeless. We have not lost hope. Jesus, I pray that you would deliver us, that you would come, that you would intervene. We desperately need you. We need a breakthrough. So many levels in our country. God, would you break through in this pandemic? God, we need you. So we look to you. We take our eyes off of the politicians and the potential vaccines and all of the stuff and the protocols and the measures and the mandates. We take our eyes off of all of that and we focus in on you. Jesus, you are our deliverer. You are the conqueror. You have overcome the world. Would you break through? There are so many people hurting. There are so many people struggling. We need you. So break through, God, and use us to bring that breakthrough, to bring hope and love and solutions to the people around us, for the government ultimately rests on your shoulders, not on the shoulders of humanity. speak blessing for my family, over everyone watching. In Jesus' name, amen.